Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday of August. As is our custom, on the first Sunday of the month, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of our service today. And I'm glad that you're all able to be here. Special welcome to Richard and Doreen Freeman, who will be providing special music during the service today. And you'll note on the inside back page of the bulletin, the calendar for this week, Bible study will continue on Tuesday. One event that did not get in the calendar is the property trustees will be meeting on Thursday evening, I believe at 6:45. So that did not make it on the calendar. Property trustees have been alerted and will be alerted, reminded. They are meeting this week. And on Saturday is the church's yard sale out in the parking lot, hopefully. If not, the rain date, there's no rain date, we'll just move inside. But we will have it on Saturday. And hoping that we have not too hot, but some sunny weather for that. And so that is if you are making donations for the church to sell, if you want to bring them down early, contact the office to make sure we're here to let you in the building. Otherwise, if you're going to bring them Saturday morning, please bring them early so that we can have them priced and out. So that is on Saturday. And Marilyn did leave me a note about the Housing Families Backpack Drive that she is still receiving any donations that you might have for backpacks, school supplies. She can still take anything from anyone who would like to donate to Housing Families. So far, about $450 worth of backpacks and school supplies have been donated by our congregation to Housing Families. But Marilyn can take anything else over. If somebody brought something today or would like to make a donation, you may do so. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 300 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians as our call to worship this morning. So let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. I, Paul, say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit.
And the Spirit, that what is contrary to the sinful nature.
They are in conflict with each other, so they do not do what they want.
If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious.
Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry.
Idolatry and witchcraft.
Hatred, discord, jealousy.
Fits of rage, selfish ambition.
Dissensions, factions, and envy.
Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you.
Those who live like this will not inherit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace,
patience, kindness, goodness,
faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Against such things there is no law.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires.
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
We are here to be Spirit-filled this morning, and our opening hymn is printed on the back page of the bulletin as an insert, and those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
No more enslaved to men in
Let's pray together. Prepare our hearts, O God, to receive you. It is often difficult to hear your Spirit calling to us. Free us from our preoccupation with these things that distract us, and embolden us to follow you. Come to us gathered here today and awaken us to your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Daughters with us while mother and dad drive Emily to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
should be interesting.
Marilyn?
So my friend Judy did get home last week after 75 days in either rehab or hospital. She said, I'm a lot of, she's still a long way to go.
But she is, like, able to be home right now, so we can celebrate. Anyone else? Mark?
Yes, we had a nice lunch with Claudia Cruz. She sends her best to everybody.
Great, great. She celebrated that, but she's doing okay. Friend Larry?
Friend Ellen has not doing well at all, and she's not going to be able to walk. That's what she's going to have to say.
Right, I think you shared with us a Bible study, and we've been praying for Ellen for a long time. Both she and her husband, and which is living recently, and how she's in rehab and really needs to be nursing care from her dad's here. And so there's a little difference, a split of a couple, and going through that transition. They're both almost 93, so they're not smart chickens. But she's not able to walk.
Second, I think this time I moved just when I moved at 16.
Sixty-four years of marriage, so that's a wonderful milestone. We want to keep Ellen our, and her husband, you know, Mario, that's right, Mario and Ellen. Thank you.
Continue to pray for my friend Marie.
Yep, thank you, friend Marie. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Marie.
By that, well, that one, right? I went off to the nice guy.
Okay, your native land, who's unrest in Cameroon, is going to pray. Pray for Cameroon and pray for other areas in the country and in the world that have war going on in unrest. It's not safe to live in our country. Anyone else have a prayer request? Not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity coming to worship you together, especially spending these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we must confess that for some of us this may be one of the few times during the week that we have taken or find the time to settle our hearts and our minds, and to focus on you, and to converse with you. Father, forgive us that we feel our lives are so busy and we're trying to do everything by ourselves. We know that it would be so much easier if we were able to come to you more frequently. Lord, we thank you that whenever we approach you, we know that you are there for us, waiting to receive our prayers and longing, wanting to communicate with us. Lord, help us to have open hearts and open minds. Sometimes, Lord, we realize that what we ask for, we don't always receive, or receive in the way that we wish it would be. Lord, remind us that you are a faithful God, that you do respond to prayers, that sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's maybe or not yet. Lord, we just thank you that you're always here for us. We do lift up this day, O God, those we've mentioned by name and relationship who have health concerns. We celebrate with those who are well enough to be able to be home now, and others who are facing the decisions that health is so poor that hospitalization or nursing care is required. Lord, we just thank you that you are constantly there with us and that you are the master physician. Lord, we know that our lives are a finite years, and Lord, we just pray that whatever comfort and healing can take place in those lives who are ill today or injured, that would take place according to your will. We also remember those who are built, who are in sadness this day, oh God, who are feeling the loss of a loved one through death. Just pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with them, too. They may look beyond the grave. They may have hope, not only for their loved one, but for themselves as well, that Jesus Christ offers us through his death and resurrection. For we pray for those who are on vacation this summer, those who are traveling. Pray that they get safe time, this vacation, be kind of rest and relaxation and renewal. We pray for those who are at camp this year, this week. We also pray, oh God, for those who are in transitions, whether they are moving to new homes and starting a new academic year. Or we just pray that all these times of closure of one part of one's life and starting something new, that you are a God of new beginnings. And remind us of that. Though you are constant in our lives, you are a God of new beginnings. We grasp holy of that. Lord, we thank you for all of this. Lord, we just pray for our world today. We pray for those areas where it's dangerous. We pray for the Marines that are serving on Australia and those that lost their life. God, we pray for those that are doing a search and recovery mission now. Lord, we just pray all these things to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mentioned earlier, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together later in the service, and on those Sundays when we do that, we receive two offerings during the service. And this first offering we are about to receive is our regular morning offering. It goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
present these tithes and these gifts to you. We ask that you would bless them and bless us, that others who do not walk with Jesus today might one day learn about Jesus and would walk with him, accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And just prior to that, Paul was writing about the law, meaning the law of Moses, the law that those who had been Jewish and had come to Christ were following, and talking about the law and sin and how that was dealt with, and also this inner conflict of knowing what was right but not always being able to do it, that, you know, knowing that sin was just controlling him. So in chapter 8 he begins, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word for this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from the Apostle Paul this morning, your holy word about Jesus, and that the law itself could not save someone, that Jesus had to come in earthly form to take on that fleshly, sinful life. Not that he sinned, but he took on this form and lived that form and ultimately paid the price for us. Lord, we pray this day that we may not be living in the spirit, we may not be living in the flesh, or the flesh of sin and death, but we may be living in the spirit. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a word from you that will strengthen our faith, will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever decided to make a change in your life? Perhaps go on a diet, begin to work out, go back to school, look for a new job, get your finances in order and pay off some debt, consider retirement, or you fill in the blank as something that was life-changing in your life. Many organizations and companies, as well as people, do makeovers. They rebrand themselves as something new or something different or better than before. For example, for decades, the Nissan Auto Company exported cars under the Datsun name. If you may remember from back in the 70s and early 80s, there were some really nice cars that were made by Datsun. But over time, the Nissan people decided that they needed to strengthen their global image. For people in America were buying Datsuns, but not realizing that they were really buying Nissans. So the company decided to rebrand and make their name as familiar as their rivals, Honda and Toyota. Rebranding, or renaming, is not limited to large corporations. The Bible tells us that God did some of this also. Abram became Abraham. Sarai was changed to Sarah. Jacob became Israel. And Saul was changed to Paul. The disciple Peter was rebranded by Jesus from the name Simon. And Jewish followers of Jesus began to call themselves followers of the way, and later Christians. For hundreds of years, God taught people about sin through the law of the Bible. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul admits, and in the previous chapter to what we read this morning, quote, "I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" He saw the law of God as holy and just and good. Nothing to be necessarily done away with. But then Paul discovered that there was a limitation to the law of Moses. It identified sin. It pointed it out very clearly. But it offered no suggestions as to how to overcome it. As much as Paul delighted in the law of God, he still found that he was, quote, "a captive to the law of sin," end quote. Every time he tried to do good, he ended up doing something bad. God needed to do a major rebrand by providing life in the Spirit. Paul proclaims in this morning's text that now the law of sin and death is gone. In its place is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Rebranding can take place in the lives of individuals and communities if the people are open to the leading of God's Spirit. By changing names and our logos in some smart and meaningful ways, individuals and groups begin life on a whole new course. I have a couple examples to share this morning, a few examples. Airbnb, if you've heard of that, is the popular online marketplace and hospitality service that connects and enables potential guests and hosts to lease or rent short-term lodging from each other. When the service was first envisioned and launched in 2009, the name was Air Bed and Breakfast. But as the company grew, the owners realized that most people don't want to sleep on air mattresses on the floor. the somewhat mysterious rebranded Airbnb comes across as very contemporary rather than uncomfortable. And the rebranding was apparently successful because Airbnb will soon be booking more rooms than the world's largest hotels, or hotel chains. And unless you are of a certain age, you know the family restaurant that specializes in breakfast food as IHOP. But those of us who are a little older may remember it as the International House of Pancakes. In 1994, the company heard that its customers had shortened the name to IHOP, so the company decided to make it official. And the Fast Company says that the name change instantly made the chain seem more of the moment and self-aware. Have you ever Googled anything? Have you done it recently? Most of us have, and sometimes we do it several times a day. We use the search engine created by Google to look up all kinds of things on the internet. But the company called Google soon did not want to be known only by its for its search engine, since it was plunging into life sciences, investment capital, and research. So the name of the company was changed to Alphabet in 2015, and the stock rose by 27%. Rebranding can make a difference, but there's always risk involved when rebranding takes place. Now, IHOP was pretty safe because people were already doing it, but for some others, it might be dangerous. This past week, Dunkin' Donuts Inc. announced that a few of their stores would test a rebranded and abbreviated name, just Dunkin', rather than Dunkin' Donuts. This is an effort to emphasize coffee and not the donut part of it. And a company-wide decision will not be made until next year as to whether to do all to change their name permanently. This week also, the church received an envelope in the mail from Andover Newton Theological School. Inside were two letters, both talking about the institution's rebranding. As some of you may have heard, the graduate school completed the sale of its Newton, Massachusetts campus in June, signed a formal affiliation agreement with Yale Divinity School in July, and is in the process of moving to New Haven, Connecticut over the next year. Through this transition, the institution is not only changing its location, but it's also changing its name and its logo. It's rebranding itself for what it sees as a bright future. The new name will be Andover Newton Seminary at Yale Divinity School. No, it's a longer name, but they explain why. I'm not going to go into that all here. I don't have the time. But they believe that this new name signals both continuity with the past and a fresh beginning. Historically, the school has rebranded itself several times, if you know the history of the school. And this reminds me of a quote by the Italian fashion designer Donatella Versace, who said, "It's very important for a brand to have an identity through the years, but it's very important as well to evolve because time changes so fast." So let us return to today's scripture for a little bit. What did God accomplish when God rebranded us by moving us from self-centered lives to the Spirit-centered lives? This was one of the biggest tweaks in religious history. It began with a liberation movement when God set us free from the law of sin and death, as Paul writes in verse 2. This was the first step. Even today, with the advancement of so many social programs, sin and death continue to be a problem for many people. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright points out that, quote, "The Western powers themselves have been shown up as riddled with corruption, selfishness masked as public service, and sexual and financial scandals," end quote. Sin is still a problem for us. We need that liberation that only God can offer. Fortunately, God frees us by giving us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God sent his Son Jesus to us in human form to as the translation I read this morning, deal with sin. You think about that, to deal with sin. That's a great phrase. It means that Jesus has come to be concerned with sin, to take action on it, and to punish it. When someone says, "I'll deal with you later," we know that person means business. And Jesus means business when he comes to deal with sin. Jesus deals with sin by giving his life on the cross. He allows all the sin of the world to be heaped on top of him so that sin can be condemned and die at the same time that he is condemned and dies. The supreme power of sin is now overcome. So we can walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been liberated from the grip of sin. The next step in God's rebranding is to give us a new way of thinking, replacing selfish thinking with Spirit thinking. We are free to make good choices now in a way that we could not when sin was in control of our lives. Those who live only for themselves are going to be driven only by the things they want, to paraphrase Paul. So they are going to be selfish and greedy with flimsy sexual standards. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, things such as service to others, love, life, and peace. Now, of course, we're always going to continue to face temptation. And sometimes we'll make mistakes. And occasionally, we'll make those mistakes in spectacular ways. But sin no longer has the ability to overcome us because, as followers of Christ, we have embraced a new way of thinking that immediately understands the problem or the issue when we mess up. The Bible calls it walking according to the Spirit, or setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And those things of the Spirit that we set our minds on are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That New Testament scholar N.T. Wright reminds us that the presence of the Spirit makes a difference in how we actually live our lives, not just how we feel about our life, but how we actually live it. God's work in us always goes deeper than just changing the name. When God wants to create something new, God begins by liberating us from sin and helping us to overcome it. And then God replaces the selfish thinking with Spirit thinking. And finally, God fills us with a power that is described as both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. This fresh source of energy gives us new life because it is the same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, writes Paul, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. So many things in our world can just suck the life out of us. Whether it's social media, our jobs, chronic illness, debt, there may be something else on your list that just feels like it's just draining you. But God is working to fill us with life and with peace through the gift of the Spirit. This Spirit will give us the inspiration we need to be faithful and loving people in the world. There are times when both individuals and companies need a fresh start. God wants us to let go of the past and to put on the accent of the future, to focus on the future. To help us do this, God liberates us from sin, introduces us to new ways of thinking, and fills us with his Spirit, which is both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. According to Christian writer Philip Yancey, the Spirit, quote, accepts us with all of our secrets and gradually transforms us into someone more like him. The Spirit's work is seen in, quote, prisoners and drug addicts who are transformed, wealthy people who are humbled to care for the forsaken, doctors who forego comfort to serve the needy, end quote. All of this fulfills the promise made through Jesus that no matter what we do, we can be forgiven. And no matter who we are, we can be transformed. We are accepted, forgiven, and transformed, liberated from sin, and given a new way of thinking. That is God's way of giving us rebranded lives in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we each come with our own different needs today. Some of us may have felt that we've just gone through a rebranding, and others may feel that we are in desperate need of one. Lord, wherever we are on that continuum, we pray for your Spirit to be working in us. We pray, O God, that if we are living with flesh thinking and sin thinking, that you will transform our thinking to Spirit thinking. Lord, if we're not even to that point yet, we pray for the liberation to move us away from the law of sin and death, that we can turn our backs on that, so we can turn toward you, that you know that your Spirit will be there. And we pray, oh God, that your Spirit will fill us. That we pray to be new creatures made by you. Lord, you are a God of all eternity. You are a God of new beginnings. We pray, oh God, that you will give each of us individually and us as a congregation and as a community new beginnings to rebrand us as your people in this place. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn of preparation for communion is Born of the Holy Spirit's Breath, 318, verses, we'll singing verses 1 and 2.
please be joining in reading Sheriff Cutter.
Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God in the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute with our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of the faithful and the evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of distress, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers, in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host at the table. As the host, Jesus invites each of us with these words. He asks us, do you love me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe that I came and was born and lived among you and ultimately went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins, was buried, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven and preparing a place for you for all eternity? In other words, you have faith in me. And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus has come. Eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, for Jesus invites all believers to this table. But we have not earned a right here. We have not earned a seat here. It's only through God's grace and mercy. So let us pray now, asking God to forgive us of any sins that we are aware of that we have committed. Let's pray together in silence. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We are truly sorry for those sins that we have committed that have gone against your will. Lord, we pray that we may have the strength to resist the temptation in the future. We pray that we may live as sinless lives as we can through your Spirit. We pray now, God, that you will cleanse our hearts and purify our souls and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The last night that Jesus spent here on earth, he was having a meal with his disciples in the upper room. It was a special meal. It was a Passover meal, celebrating, commemorating the freedom of the Israelites from slavery and bondage in Egypt. And as they took part of that meal, they had, if we've had a Seder meal before, participated in many similar certain foods. One was bread. Bread was used throughout the meal. And Jesus took the bread from the meal, and he knew his time was coming. And he wanted to give new instructions to his disciples, and something they could remember him by, and something they could reenact as they were remembering him. So Jesus took the bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, he began breaking it. Of course, the disciples are thinking one thing, oh, he's going to say this, this, and this. No, and Jesus says, no, this bread represents my body that's broken for each one of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread.
Thank you.
broken bond, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of Jesus. As the meal continued in the upper room, Jesus took the cup, one of many on the table that night, and asked God for a blessing on the cup, then began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it. But Jesus gave new words to the cup as well. He said, this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Shed on the cross, paying the price for our sins, giving us life, that we might have life abundant and life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed for each one of us, that you loved us that much, cared about us that much, that you wanted to deal with our sins so much, that you wanted us to have life, to have joy in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray that having been together today, we may have been renewed in our strength and our faith. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is number 420, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Jesus came into my heart.
Scripture promises that if we are in Christ, we are new creations. May God, our Creator, breathe into us new life and a whole new meaning. May the Spirit of God breathe into us a new spirit and a new understanding. May the wisdom of God breathe into us new hope and a new awareness. May all who hear the word of God be blessed forever. Amen.